Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've been saying all week, the Christmas story is for everyone, right? Young and old, rich and poor, boys and girls. In the sense that, as St. Paul wrote in today's epistle, Christ was born of a woman, just like all of you, just like everyone. He was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that is, everyone, both Jews who were under the law of Moses and Gentiles who were under the moral law, or as Paul wrote, the basic elements of this world since the very beginning. For everyone must answer to God for our every thought, word, and deed. He was born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we, that is, that everyone, might receive the adoption of sons. Believers recognize this and rejoice in it and have received that adoption of sons. Unbelievers still need to be told that they may come to repentance, come into the light of Christ by faith and be saved. A salvation which, as we said, is for everyone. Children often receive the focus at Christmas, though, as you know, and that's okay, that's reasonable. The Savior of all became a child, reminding us that childhood is something good. He wants the little children to come to him who was once a little child, just as they are, who had to grow up and increase in wisdom and stature, just as they do. But if Christmas focuses a little bit on the children, then the Sunday after Christmas focuses on the elderly. In our gospel, we encounter two elderly saints who were born under the law of Moses and were still, even at an old age, eagerly waiting for the promised liberation from the law and the redemption that Christ would bring, as the epistle said. Now, what do we learn from the elderly believers in today's gospel? What good can elderly Christians do? First, we meet Simeon in the temple, 40 days after the birth of Christ. Old Simeon had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, as Luke tells us in the verses before our text, and was informed somehow by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before meeting in person the Lord's Christ. That was God's gracious reward to him for a long life of faithful service, of faithful waiting and believing. When Joseph, Mary, and Jesus entered the temple that day, Simeon knew who Jesus was and rejoiced at seeing him, prompting him to speak the words that we now know as the Song of Simeon or the Nunc Dimittis, where Simeon gave thanks to God and told him, "I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to depart in peace because the Lord has fulfilled his word to me." He had allowed Simeon to see the promised Messiah with his very eyes, the Savior sent from God for all people, the light that would be for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to his people Israel. That's where our gospel begins. It says that Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, that is, which Simeon had just spoken in that Nunc Dimittis. Now, you know that song that they play on the radio sometimes today, "Mary, Did You Know?" It recounts several of the miracles that Jesus would perform in his life and the saving work he would do. Some people get a little bent out of shape about the premise of that song. Well, of course Mary knew, they scream. How dare you ask if she knew? Well, she did know where Jesus came from. She knew that he was the promised Savior, and she knew certain Old Testament prophecies about him, but she didn't know everything he would ever do. And she certainly didn't comprehend all at once the mystery of the eternal Word lying there in her arms, or just how far-reaching the implications were of this child's birth. So, yes, she marveled, it says, together with Joseph, at the words that Simeon spoke, because that elderly believer revealed to her something that she didn't know, or at least didn't fully comprehend. And then Simeon went on to speak. He blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. As the prophet Isaiah had already prophesied long before that, the Christ would be a sanctuary for some, a hiding place, a place of refuge, but also a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Many would stumble over Jesus' claim to be the world's only Savior, his claim to be able to forgive sins, his claim to be sent from God and to be God. They would stumble over his humility and over his suffering and over his refusal to set up an earthly kingdom. They would stumble over the cross because they thought the true Messiah would never let himself be rejected and condemned and crucified. But the reality, as you know, is that the true Messiah came for the very purpose of being rejected, condemned, and crucified as the Lamb of God who would pay for the world's sins. Those who stumbled over him, who stumbled over his death and his resurrection, fell into everlasting death because they have no refuge before God's condemning law. But those who found a sanctuary in him from God's wrath and from the righteous condemnation of the law, they rose up. They rose up to the adoption of sons and to the inheritance of everlasting life. All of that lay in the future of the little baby lying in Simeon's arms. Destined, Simeon said, for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. No mother wants to consider that her little baby will one day be hated or mocked, ridiculed, or slandered to his face or behind his back. But Simeon informed Mary ahead of time that all such things were in the future of her little baby. And it's still going on to this day, even though Christ is long ascended into heaven. Here stands Christ in his word still to this day, condemning sin in all its forms, all the adultery that the world is so fond of today, that's become so common and accepted, speaking against it and condemning it and calling people to repentance, to faith, and to a life of purity and chastity. But people continue to speak against him, and so the thoughts of their hearts are revealed. They are the devil's children. Finally, Simeon warned Mary, "A sword will pierce through your own soul too." Now, what pierces through a mother's soul more sharply than when her dear child suffers, or worse yet, is tortured and killed? As Mary sat 33 or so years later at the foot of Jesus' cross, together with the Apostle John, one wonders if she thought of Simeon at that moment and of his terrible prophecy. What was the point of it? Well, it prepared Mary for the kind of life her son would lead. And what's more, it was God being utterly truthful and upfront with her right from the beginning, as he has also been with us, that believing in him and following him will not mean a peaceful or comfortable life on earth for you or for your children, but a life of being hated by the world, even as Christ was hated, and a life of bearing the cross in his name. All that was revealed to the Holy Family by old Simeon. Then, in our gospel, we meet the other elderly saint, Anna, a prophetess and apparently a well-known one. She was an old woman of great age, it says in our gospel, either an 84-year-old widow, or, I think even more likely, a roughly 105-year-old woman who had been a widow for 84 years. It's hard to tell exactly from the description of her in the text. The point is, she was very old and had been a widow for a very long time. For 7 years of her young life, she had lived as a dutiful wife, probably into her early 20s. But from her early 20s on, she spent her life not chasing after men, not dwelling on her loneliness, not engaging in worldly activities at all, but serving God with fastings and prayers night and day. Sounds nothing at all like what young ladies are expected to do today, does it? At some point, she had become a prophetess as well, chosen by God to reveal God's word to Israel. Apparently right there in the temple, telling people that the Christ was coming soon. Then she too was rewarded for her many decades of faithful service to the Lord. The baby, who is God, arrives at the temple to meet her. And she saw him with her own eyes too. She gave thanks to the Lord, it says, and then she spoke of the child to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She was like the shepherds that way, wasn't she? You remember, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They to their acquaintances around Bethlehem, and Anna to hers there in Jerusalem. And she surely had many acquaintances after 6 to 8 decades of serving the Lord night and day in the temple. Her acquaintances were likely the faithful visitors of the temple where she spent so much of her time. All those decades, imagine the people she knew, the regular attendees at the sacrifices, the ones who had believed the Lord's promises, and those who showed up at the temple just because of obligation or because they had to. Her witness to them was important, just as your witness is to your families. When you come to the Lord's house, even though they have other things to do, when you come to the Lord's house, even on a holiday, when family's in town, and they see something means more to you even than spending time with your dear family away from the Lord's house, It's your witness of coming to the Lord's house that the one is here who was also there at Christmas. What do we learn from Simeon and Anna, these two elderly believers who were among the very first people whom we might call Christians? In addition to the things that they revealed about Jesus in their words, we learn how to live a long life of faithfulness, of devotion, of learning and clinging to God's word and trusting in His promises, a long life of waiting for the Christ to be revealed, never giving up hope, never abandoning God's service, even if the world around us has abandoned it. We learn to keep praying and attending the divine service, not as an occasional activity, but as a lifelong regular behavior. We learn to speak the word of Christ to the people around us, to the people that we know. And we learn to give thanks to God for revealing His salvation to us in Christ, whether early or late in life. The service of these elderly saints has been preserved for us in the Holy Scriptures, that we might learn both from their words and from their examples. Christ was born for everyone. And if you continue to use the means of grace He has provided so that you may know Him and have your faith in Him divinely sustained, then you too will be rewarded for your life of faithful service in God's house. You'll get to meet Jesus one day, not in terror as the rest of the world, but in thankfulness and joy, like Simeon and Anna. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.